As Melissa mentioned earlier, that in God's time and will, He'll fill the voids that we are having, whether it be in the back or up here in front, ushers and greeters and so on and so forth. And even in the reading of the announcements, it becomes a tongue twister if you don't feel comfortable doing it. In God's word, every other word seems like a tongue twister. You have to pay attention and focus and read each syllable, even though it may be wrong, to make an honest attempt to pronounce those names, places that the Lord put in there for a reason. That we know oh too well that even the names of the individuals that have begotten and begone have certain meanings. And as I will read the importance of understanding the word, it'll make it easier if you put your mindset in the time and place when the word was written. Not just what God placed in the spirit for man to write down, but because He found it important enough for understand what they went through during their time. And in the same token, if you continue on reading the word and understanding, it's still a living word that is applicable to us nowadays. They might have different names. They might not have Bob, Bill, John, and Joe. They might not have the places where they raised up like Pahrump or Boulder City or anything like that, but it's applicable, boy, that's an English word, to us as well. We'll still be in Hebrews chapter 2. We ended last week where God had put all things in subjection under His feet. You have made Him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under His feet. He must reign till He has put all His enemies under His feet, everything under His feet. You'll find those in Psalms 8, 6, 1 Corinthians 15, 25, and as well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 27, all under His feet. But when He says all things are under Him, it is evident that He who puts all things under Him is expected, and that He who puts all things under Him, Jesus, who is spoken about, has all the authority been given to Him in heaven and earth. And you'll find this in Matthew 28, 18. The word is written, as I said. I can't stress enough the importance that even receiving the teaching or the message that is derived from studying the word, we too must commit ourselves individually to study the word. For most of us that have been here a while, Pastor Wayne had mentioned that as he was doing a teaching, don't take it for granted that he had everything correctly given in a message, especially if there's any doubts, concerns, or issues. But he always said, come to me after you've done your research to see if I was right or wrong, But before you come to me, you better know those scriptures. If I am wrong, he said, I will address my family out here, each and every one of you. Say that I'm sorry I led you wrong, and that he would correct what he said. So I pray that as well, that you'll have a little bit more leniency with me, that if in the time that it comes that I mention something that is truly out of context, or you truly believe that it's not in the Word, come up to me and teach me as well. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we know that you're an awesome God. Father, we know that you love us. There is nothing beyond your reach or incapability of doing. God, you're so good. Father, you bless us with another day of life, Father, that we pray that we continually be the light, continually, adamantly, boldly be the light to many of those that are still in the dark. We ask that you use us. Let us be that roaring lion that we are told that we have in our lungs to profess boldly, loudly, adamantly, not only our love for you, but the necessity of telling about your word, your gospel, and of salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we all said, Amen. Yes, studying the word, and only then, after time, you will be able to better understand. I mentioned as well before, if we ever are privileged or blessed to have an IBS, which is an inductive Bible study, that you'll know that every word means something in the word. Even therefore means something. The names again of individuals that were named during a specific time, purpose, or reason, or season is mentioned in their name. The Bible was written in a cultural context. The writers used events of their times to record and illustrate truth. But we do not live in those cultures. That's why we need to read and put it side by side with ours. There is that, what is that, parable? No, there is that parallel then and now. So we're going to start off in verse 9, chapter 2 of Hebrews. It says, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Might taste death for everyone. Death is one significant quality that makes man lower than angels. To have a better understanding of that, you'll find it in Luke 20:30. It says, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels, and are sons of God, being sons of resurrection. Christ has conquered death for man, because Jesus became obedient to the point of death, where God highly exalted him. You'll find that in Philippians 12, 8 to 9. And because of his redemptive work, Christ fulfilled all that was required. as a supreme representative of mankind. By his incarnation, substitutionary sacrifice, and the victory over sin and death, Romans 6:23, 1 John 4:10, Jesus had fulfilled man's original purpose as a second Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, he was for a short while lower than the angels. He was for a short while. But now he has the glory and the honor and all things, including angels, are now subject to him. He tastes death for everyone. Everyone who believes, that is. The death of Christ can only be applied to those who come to God repentantly, in faith, asking for saving grace and forgiveness of sins. We notice in the scriptures above of 2 Corinthians 5:21, 1 Timothy 2:6 and 4:10, and Titus 2:11 that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. How is that possible? Actually, he was not lower at all, but took the state of being lower while his stay on earth. The death of Jesus on the cross was the payment for us so that we would not have to die this way to pay for our sins. We turn to Philippians chapter 2, and then we'll read 2:7. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 7 to 9. But made himself, Jesus, of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name. We should see in this that we have done nothing to deserve to be saved. It is a gift of grace, and this is free. Free. Doesn't cost anything. It's been paid. A free gift of God, and all we have to do is accept it. Verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. What God did through the humiliation of Jesus Christ was perfectly consistent with his sovereign righteousness and his holiness. Without Christ's humiliation, there could be no redemption. And without redemption, without it, there would be no glorification. Romans 8:18 and 29:30. Perfect in his divine nature, Christ was already perfect. However, his human nature was perfected in obedience, including the suffering, in order that he might become an understanding high priest. He had to suffer this to know what you and I will be going through, and to have that as a high priest already embedded in his heart. The example will be found with believers in Philippians 2:28, 1 Peter 2:21, and establish the perfect righteousness in Matthew 3:15. To be imputed to the believers, I have a lot of scriptures. I have every other page full of scriptures. I'm going to read them anyway. This is what the teaching is for. That it brings us to the scriptures in a roundabout way, that we return to the original scriptures that started us off. So where was I? 1 Peter 2:21. Matthew 3:15. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Philippians 3:8 and 19. If you remember what I read about the captain of their salvation, perfect through suffering. Captain, if you'll understand, you'll find that word, that term used in Acts 5:31. That it may also well be translated as pioneer, a leader, an author, a navigator. Christ is that source. He is the initiator and the leader in regard to our salvation. He has led the way into heaven as our forerunner. The concept of suffering was a real stumbling block for the Jews. And the author tackles this problem by declaring that the suffering on the cross was an integral part of God's redemptive plan. In fact, Christ was made perfect through the suffering of death. And that is, as man, Jesus was enabled to suffer, to become that captain, or the captain of our salvation. Suffering, which allowed him to empathize with us, and death, and death was a means of destroying Satan and securing our redemption. The suffering that Christ did was not because he deserved to suffer, but it was because it was us who deserved to suffer that he became that very substitute. So, deserving to suffer for our sins of man, Jesus suffered in our place. We are his creation, and he brought us back out of sin. There's a penalty for sin, and we're well aware of it. Jesus paid it for us, and that we might not be judged of that very sin. Now, if we suffer with Christ for the cause of Christianity, then we shall reign with him. And you can read that in Romans 8:17. A Christian is a follower of Christ. If our leader suffered, so will we. Verse 11. For both, he who sacrifices and those who are being sacrificed are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Sanctified, sanctification, sets a person apart for service, to be made holy through purification from sin and conformity to the holiness of God. Can we turn to Matthew 12, verses 48 and 50? Matthew 12. 48 through 50. But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hands towards his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." We who are sanctified are set aside for God's purpose. He made us holy in God's sight. We are covered in the blood of Jesus. And when God the Father looks at us, he doesn't see our sins. They've already been forgotten. They've been washed away by the blood of Christ. We are righteous because we have been washed, like I said, in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 12. Saying, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." My brethren, you'll find quoted in Psalms 22:22. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. Jesus had taught that those who do the will of the Father in obedience to his word are his brethren and his mother. Matthew 12, 50. I'm going to read Luke 8:21. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. It says, "But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and do it." He never referred to his disciples as by the title of brethren or brother until after his resurrection, and not until he paid the price for their salvation. Did they truly become his spiritual brothers and sisters? We are to know the importance of praising God, to praise God in church. It also it also is very important to open our mouths and confess Jesus. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 13 goes on to read, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am. Here am I and the children whom God has given to me. Christ has demonstrated the reality of his human nature by his reliance upon God during his earthly journey. I'm going to read John 17, verses 6 through 8. I am going to read that. I am honest. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you have sent me. I'm lost. Not until he paid the price for their salvation did they truly become his spiritual brothers and sisters. Christ had demonstrated the reality of his human nature by his reliance upon God, like I said, during his journey on earth. The Father gave them his Son because he paid for them with his blood. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Go on to verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Remember that now. He in the likewise has shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. Inasmuch, epi is a Greek form of partaken, to part. The Greek word for partook means fellowship, communion, or partnership, to share. To take hold of something that is not related to one's own kind, but to share with another. The Son of God was not by nature flesh and blood. He took it upon himself, the nature, for the sake of providing redemption for mankind. This was the ultimate purpose of the incarnation. Jesus came to earth to die. And by dying, he was able to conquer death in his resurrection. And by conquering death, he rendered Satan what? Powerless. Against all who are saved. Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. Jesus endured the cross to bring us life. As it so was written that the first man became a living being in Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. That was the first man. The last man, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 15:45. It is comforting to know that we are as well partakers of flesh and blood. You've heard the saying, eat, drink, and be merry. I would assume that's a good motto to live by your life. And that's if your worldview is that of the world. That if you have partaken of flesh and blood, and that's all you live for, your life is self-centered, and it's all about the present, all about pleasure, all that you can grab, all the fun you can have. In the understanding that children who are speaking of are not of the context of what we're studying, but those children of God as we are, who have partaken of flesh and blood, it is important to us because we're going to learn the lesson why Jesus Christ stands out and above and far away from all others. Be it a priest, an evangelist, be it whatever, it really doesn't matter. The children of God who have partaken of flesh and blood are going to learn that Jesus Christ, our salvation, and what makes him so unique for us in this book of Hebrews, we'll find out that in life is in the fact that, listen to this now, in life, he didn't come in any other fashion but to take upon himself human skin, flesh and blood, like what we're made of. Oh, I forgot the dust, that as well. He had to take that upon himself that he might experience death in such a way that you and I will experience death. He destroyed him. That is Satan, the devil, who had the power over death. The authority of Satan regarding death has been taken away from him. Jesus went to the cross and rose again from the dead, that the keys to hell were taken away from Satan. Jesus, in his resurrection, took the keys back. The significance you're going to be told was he did not come as an angel, though some may believe. What he did was he came down from being the creator of angels above, down below, and even one step further to humanity, just like us. As a fallen creature, and that God created us in his image, and that cannot be said of angels. Angels are holy spirits, and when we're told holy, it's meaning to be, they are completely spirits. Now, what God did, he who is spirit became flesh. Like I already mentioned, because you and I are flesh, he had to become flesh, like you and I. He came into the world to associate with us, to experience the very things that you and I will experience, to know, to understand, to feel, to suffer, to endure. Satan has been nullified, though he still runs, what it says in scriptures, to and fro. Satan runs to and fro with the intentions to threaten, to accuse, to take advantage of you and I when we've fallen. To you and I who have maybe backslidden. For you and I who have opened the door that will allow him to come into our presence to take advantage of. That's why it is so important for us to be armored fully, completely, that there would not be an opening. Even if we were to fall, that armor should be in place. That the wiles, the arrows and the wiles of the devil cannot penetrate through God's armor. The presence of sin in this world is why there's still death. If Satan had his way, we'd all be dead. That's if he had his way. Maybe not dead in the physical sense of being, but in his way, dead in sin. If Satan had his way, we'd all be dead right now. But he doesn't have that authority anymore. And that's the good news. I recently watched a video for preparing the message. And it was not lengthy, but it looked like it was from the 1920s, which it wasn't, but it was very hard to understand. This man, highly acclaimed intellect, mathematician, philosopher, great thinker. And while he was doing a video interview, he was asked, suppose this film was to be viewed by your descendants 1,000 years later, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, what would it reveal? The interviewer asked him, what would you think is worth telling that future generation about the life you've lived and the lessons you've learned from it? He had mentioned two things. Intellectual was first, moral was second. He said, in considering any philosophy, he said, ask yourself only, what are the facts? And what is the truth that the facts bear out? Never let yourself be diverted either by what you wish to believe or by what you think you could have benefited from. Social effect of it is that we believe as we look upon surely at what the facts are, that the intellectual things that I should wish to say. Now, before I go further, it's just, again, you match now what he says now. You reflect back to the word in that time frame, that time mindset, and the next thing would be the moral character is the second thing he said he would put in this video. He says that I should wish to say the moral things is to be very simple. I should say, love is wise. Hatred is foolish. In the world which is getting more and more closely interconnected, we have to tolerate to live with one another. We have to learn to put up with the fact that some people will say things we don't like. We can only live together in a way, and if we are to live together and not die together, we must learn the kind of charity, the kind of tolerance, which is absolutely vital to the conservation, you know what I mean? Thank you. It's another Calvary word of human life on this planet. Conservation of human life, thank you, on this planet. Wow. So it looks like he's paraphrasing scripture. And the first thing that I mentioned earlier was that don't let what you want to believe be what you believe. Go with what you feel is right, but go with the facts. There's nothing but facts in the Word of God. That's why it is our instruction manual. It is a word written in His love for us that as we follow it, all the truth is there, all to be followed without the doubt, without the question mark. All we have to do is be obedient to following it. Go with the facts. Go with the facts. He said, be loving, be kind, be tolerant. of one another. Don't hate one another. This is all from the famous atheist, Bertrand Russell. As I mentioned, that his arguments were like the primary arguments of the scripture, love one another and follow the facts. If you follow the facts according to Bertrand Russell in the Bible, which you'll find in Acts 1:3, it says, to whom he also presented himself alive after suffering by infallible proofs. Infallible proofs, which is the whole Bible. Everything of proof, everything of truth, everything of God is infallible. The Bible announces to us that it is our God, it is our Christ who came in the world and took upon himself our humanity, that he might associate with us because we are the ones that suffered through death, pain, and sorrow. And he did that, and that very threat terrifies us constantly. Apart from Christ is a thing about death. According to the Bible, Jesus Christ took that authority and power away from Satan again, I said, regarding death. A very powerful and amazing statement that Christ disabled the powers of darkness. No one, not one, is able to do that. We can go directly to him for all. We speak to him because he's the one that paid the price. And you know what else? He knows. I mean, he knows. There is nothing that he does not know. He knows. He knows, and he's the only one that can relate to where you and I are right now in this very instant, feeling our pain, our sorrow, our sufferings. And yes, he's destroyed, the Greek word meaning katarageo, Satan, to render him inoperative, bringing it to an end, to nullify, and to be destroyed. He's working on me. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? The Bible says you and I have been created altogether in the image of Christ. Look at yourselves. Do you know him? So get this. The elements that make up the universe, what makes us up, because we were formed out of dust of the earth. But what is also important is that to understand that we don't want to be characterized of ourselves as animals. Man is an animal, they say, because they want that truth, they want that to be true. Because they just don't want to believe in God. Knowing that this was created by the same designer, the same architect, the same engineer, God, the fingerprints of God are the very DNA which is in each of us. Every engineering part, all of it, everything that has been made has his fingerprints. All the other stuff too, like the cars, the houses we live in. He didn't make those. He made the material that makes those. Man made the car. Man made the house. Regarding you and I, again, we are not animals. God created all things, including us. But we are the only ones which by he created us in his image. Amen? Amen. Come on. I'm learning. To that, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him as the one who called you his children, his son, his daughters? We got to get moving here. Verse 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And release those who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In Luke 1:74, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Notice all, it is obvious that facts, as a captor according to the Bible, uses death to intimidate. According to the Bible, fear has been defeated. Fear is defeated. Yes, again, Jesus Christ yanked the keys out of hell and from Satan's hands and conquered the grave. When people die now as believers, they immediately open their eyes in the presence of God. But those who do not immediately open their eyes in the Christless eternity, amazingly, God's word, even after 2,000 years, still announces to us that man is still prone to the fear of death. We see all the things used to manipulate man and cause the fear of death. Satan said he will do anything to save his own skin. So has fear influenced your life? Has it caused you to make decisions that you would not normally make? The world is operating in fear all around us. What causes people to do these things, making these decisions, brought forth by conspiracies, agendas, false information, misleading, untrustworthy statements, and the list goes on. That we all seem to fall prey to. Let us talk about stupid. Stupid. Yes, stupid, and rightly so. The fear that we're in causes us to be stupid, to make stupid decisions, to stupidly accept the things that man tells us, that we're directed to accept and follow and obey and do the things that we shouldn't be doing. Doesn't that sound familiar? You're in your car. Your windows are rolled up. You're smoking a cigarette with a face mask on because you're obeying that COVID rule that you had to be masked. How stupid is this? The virus itself is very intelligent from what I've learned because it doesn't know the distance. He knows the distance of 6 feet. So anything less than that, he's not stupid. He's going to take advantage of. He's not stupid. We are. It's happening right now. It's still happening. We're all, not us. They're still out there being stupid. Verse 16 to 18. For indeed he does not give aid to the angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, is able to aid those who are tempted. For indeed he does not give in to the angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham, it says. Therefore, all things he had made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful priest, high priest, in things pertaining to God. I have come to my children, and I have taken the same fashion as them, being of flesh and blood. I have entered into the world, and not the world of angels. I have come to their world as I became like them, that I might communicate to them my love and to know how they would feel. Christ associated with us and coming into the world, the Bible tells us in this portion of the scripture that he suffered like us and he was tempted like us. Verse 18 as well tells us that the fact of the matter is truly awesome, is that when you and I feel and think and are tempted by what's going on around us, that he already knows. He already knows, and he'll say, but you'll ask, what he's saying is I know exactly what you're going through. Jesus, I'm hurt. I'm broken. My friends all have abandoned me, and this is this and that. Our families turned on me, work, life. I'm sick of it all. You know, when you calm down, according to the Word of God, he says in verse 18, I know. He doesn't say to us 2,000 years ago, I remember what that felt like. He knows exactly what you're going through. He is a God who not only felt it then, he feels what you're going through now. The third thing, which is from the verse 17, is that you have found yourself a high priest. Things, the Greek meaning, pause, all things, everything, all kinds, respect, constantly, continually, entirely, all things. The word here made in Greek meaning to make like or become like, to be made means that he came into the skin like us to feel everything. And that to take away nothing from his ability to relate to this is a remarkable miracle of the incarnation of God that will become skin. Wow. From this moment on, there's a such wonderful blessing that comes to each of us. At the end of this chapter, to all of us from the Word of God, we now have the excitement, knowing that Jesus Christ is the only one and only priest, our most high priest, we will ever need to in this life. And that's the good news. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved and dwelt among us. Into the neighborhood, into our neighborhood. Comes the hour, comes the man, and the man's name is Jesus. The birth of Jesus is the Word of God moves into the neighborhood. We were alone in the desert of our orphan existence, far away from God. But because of his sins, thirsty for his love, starved for all purpose, that Jesus, the one and only Son of God, took on human flesh when he was born a baby. Here at last was the Father's answer to the separation between himself and humanity. Abba, Father, could not tolerate our alienation any longer. The Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the children of men may become sons and daughters of God. What a history-making moment that this was. When the infinite became an infant, the Father's love entered the world in Jesus. Our orphan state has ended, and we can enjoy the presence of God because God moved into our neighborhood. As a worship team,